We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 30, entitled Description of Adverse Fruitive Activities, verse number 32. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Daivena Saditam Tasya. Shamalam Niraye Puman. Bhungte Kudamba Poshasya. Hridavitta Ivaturaha. Daivena Saditam Tasya. Shamalam Niraye Puman. Bhungte Kudumba Poshasya. Hridavitta Ivaturaha. Daivena Saditam Tasya. Shamalam Niraye Puman. Bhungte Kudumba Poshasya. Hridavitta Ivaturaha. Word to word translation. Daivena, by the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Asaditam. Obtained. Tasya. His. Shamalam. Sinful reaction. Niraye. In a hellish condition. Puman. The man. Bhungte. Undergoes. Kudumba Poshasya. Of maintaining a family. Hritavittaha. One whose wealth is lost. Iva, like. Atraha, suffering. Translation. Thus, by the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the maintainer of kinsmen is put into a hellish condition to suffer for his sinful activities, like a man who has lost his wealth. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The example set herein is that the sinful person suffers just like a man who has lost his wealth. The human form of body is achieved by the conditioned soul after many, many births and is a very valuable asset. Instead of utilizing this life to get liberation, if one uses it simply for the purpose of maintaining his so-called family and therefore performs foolish and unauthorized actions, he is compared to a man who has lost his wealth and who, upon losing it, laments. When wealth is lost, there is no use lamenting. But as long as there is wealth, one has to utilize it properly and thereby gain eternal profit. It may be argued that when a man leaves his money earned by sinful activities, he also leaves his sinful activities here with his money. But it is especially mentioned herein that by superior arrangement, daivena saditam, although the man leaves behind his sinful earned money, he carries the effect of it. When a man steals some money, if he is caught and agrees to return it, he is not freed from the criminal punishment. By the law of the state, even though he returns the money, he has to undergo the punishment. Similarly, the money earned by a criminal process may be left by the man when dying, but by superior arrangement, he carries with him the effect, and therefore he has to suffer hellish life. I'll read next verse also. Next, text number 33. केवलेन हि अधर्मेण कुटुम्भ भरणतोष्टुका याति जीवोऽन्धतामिश्रं चरमं तमसत्प्रदम्। Therefore, a person who is very eager to maintain his family and kinsmen simply by black methods certainly goes to the darkest region of hell, which is known as Andha Tamisra. Purport. Three words in this verse are very significant. Kevalam means only by black method. Adharmena means unrighteous or irreligious. And Kudumba Bharana means family maintenance. Maintaining one's family is certainly the duty of a householder, but one should be eager to earn his livelihood by the prescribed method, as stated in the scriptures. In Bhagavad Gita, it is described that the Lord has divided the social system into four classifications of castes or varnas according to quality and work. Apart from Bhagavad Gita, in every society, a man is known according to his quality and work. For example, when a man is constructing wooden furniture, he is called a carpenter. And a man who works with an anvil and iron is known as blacksmith. Similarly, a man who is engaged in medical or engineering field has a particular duty and designation. All these human activities have been divided by the Supreme Lord into four varnas, namely Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. In Bhagavad Gita and in other Vedic literatures, the specific duties of Brahmana, Kshatriya, and Vaishya and Shudra are mentioned. One should work honestly according to his qualification. He should not earn his livelihood unfairly by means for which he is not qualified. If a Brahmana who works as a priest so that he may enlighten his followers with the spiritual way of life is not If a Brahmana who works as a priest so that he may enlighten his followers with the spiritual way of life is not qualified as a priest, then he is cheating the public. One should not earn by such unfair means. The same is applicable to Kshatriya or to a Vaishya. It is especially mentioned that the means of livelihood of those who are trying to advance in Krishna consciousness must be very fair and uncomplicated. Here it is mentioned that he who earns his livelihood by unfair means, Kevalena, is sent to the darkest hellish region. Otherwise, if one maintains his family by prescribed methods and honest means, there is no objection to one's being a family man.
Omatnyanatimirantasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurunmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam sthapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamahyam dadati svapadantikam jai shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadatha shri vasadi gaura bhakta vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna.
Here, the results of adverse sinful activities are given. It is quite graphic in many verses described. Before and here, specifically mentioning about the destiny of a householder who maintains his family through sinful means. I think it is very relevant to this time. We can see that quite a bit. Now here, in the purport to verse number 32, Srila Prabhupada mentions that the real wealth is human form of life. And he compares a man who misuses his human form of life as a man who has lost all his wealth. If you have wealth, then you have choice how to spend. And if you don't have that wealth, then there's no choice how to spend. In the same way, when a conditioned being has got a human form of life, then he has the choice. What is his choice? Which direction to go? He is at a cross junction where he can take turns in any way he wants. So that's the choice. So that is the wealth of human form of life. Now, here in this 33, verse number 33 purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that this is the ideal, it is especially mentioned that the means of livelihood of those who are trying to advance in Krishna consciousness must be very fair and uncomplicated. So two qualifications. One is the means of livelihood must be fair and it should be uncomplicated. So this is what is the recommendation of the Shastra, and that's why the whole purport of the verse 33 is focusing on Varnashram and especially Varna, the different occupational duties of human beings according to Vedic scriptures. And if you try to understand this Varna system, and of course Ashram also, it's a brilliant organizational structure for the society given by Krishna. It is very brilliant if you think about it. Why it is brilliant? Point number one, one doesn't have to really worry about what to do in life. It's a big confusion. You speak to people, it's a big confusion. What to do in life? To choose this career path or the other? And there are so many trillions of paths, we can say. So many permutations and combinations of career paths. And one is quite confused. And even in terms of education, it is so much of a confusion there, right? There are double degrees. Why there are double degrees? When I see double degrees, I think it is the desperate need to get into some job. And people take totally different, diametrically opposite fields to test it out what can click. I was speaking to a boy at the university. He was telling he's doing law and engineering, electrical engineering. I was thinking there's no connection between these two. Law is something and engineering is something different. One can possibly have traits for both, but generally, no, it is quite different. So he was telling, I'm not doing well as a lawyer, so I'll focus on my engineering. I don't think I can shine as a lawyer at all, so I had to go to technical side. So this is how it is. The society is so desperate to find a job, so there are double degrees. And it's not just a degree. You speak to students after first year of their education in any university in Australia. The dropout rate is very high. It's the first year is the biggest rate. Yeah, people do after second year, third year. But first year is the prime of dropouts. People are just going, trying out different things and then just, oh no, this is not for me. So in Varnashram, it's exactly the opposite. That one knows what one is meant to do, it actually saves a lot of time and effort and energy, right? One of my uncles, a classic example, not recently, maybe 30 years back, or at least 30 years back, or 35 years back, he did his undergrad in engineering, then did his master's in engineering in somewhere in Canada, then he pursued a PhD, he was almost there, then he had a feeling, this is not what I'm meant to do in my life. He discontinued. He went to Italy and he started his medicine. Then he became a doctor. Then whole life he worked as a doctor. this is sheer waste of time. One is not clear what one wants to do in life. So Varnashram system basically helps to find out what one should do in life. It is pretty much predetermined. And of course, with some choices to change as well. So one devotee was telling me, as he was preaching, he's an astrologer, he preached to a lot of youth. So he was mentioning that he uses astrology generally to give some guidance, what they should do in their life, some broad outline at least. You should become an artist or a technician. At least that much guidance could be given with astrology. So he was telling, he just helped them, give some directions in life because people are so confused. Because the activities of Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra are different. It can be combined as well. Say, for example, in devotion service, Srila Prabhupada told that a book distributor has to have all first three qualities. He has to be a brahmana because he should preach, he should present the book. He has to be a kshatriya because he need to really go out. So he has to be courageous. Third, he has to be a vaishya. He needs to know how to get money out of people. So one has to be a brahmana, kshatriya and a vaishya. So this is our position actually. And for a brahmachari, he has to be a shudra also. Because he has to be a servant of all. And that is actually applicable to all devotees. We had to be a shudra. We had to be a servant of all. So this is the real position of a devotee. He has to work in all respects, right? You know, brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya and shudra. Devotee means we had to work according to the need. Even though one can be one main part where one can focus on. So this is a devotee life. So point number one, again, in Varnashram, one doesn't have to really worry about what one should do in life. Second, even as a kid, one is trained. One doesn't have to take a loan, which is very good. Doesn't have to spend at least, you know, 30, 35 grand a year to get some qualification, run for 3 years or 4 years, and then find out that there is no job. So there is no such issue. So one is, as a kid, one is trained in one particular field, in a profession. Generally, it is given by the family. So that is one benefit of Varna. So one is trained as a kid. It's pretty good if you think about. Now, it's not the case. You know, there is continued professional development. One needs certification. One needs experience. Need more skills. It is highly competitive. Anytime one can be thrown out of work. So this is an artificial society. Even after spending so much of time, so much of energy, so much of money, still nothing is guaranteed. This is Kali Yuga. Glories of Kali Yuga. So we had to live with that. So what can we do? Third, there is a symbiotic relationship between different varnas or different classes. So in a symbiotic relationship means one is dependent on other. It is mutually connected. So all classes are mutually connected. So a brahmana, he is guiding the society. So he is giving the spiritual knowledge. And at the same time, he is ready to accept charity from other classes. So from kshatriyas and vaishyas, he can accept charity. So he can give spiritual knowledge and he doesn't work. He can act as a priest. He can give spiritual guidance. He can be a general counselor. He can teach. But he doesn't work for money. At the same time, he's maintained by the rest of the society. Second, kshatriya, in one sense, he doesn't work as well. He administers, he rules. And where is his income from? He doesn't work either. His income is from vaishyas, who are the businessmen. So 25% has to be given as tax. It's a flat tax rate. There is no cut. 25% he had to give to the king. And he uses that for maintenance of the entire society. So this is the duty of a kshatriya. And vaishya, he's krishi, goraksha, vanijyam. You know, krishi, he takes care of agriculture. He takes care of vanijyam business. Goraksha, animal protection, cow protection. So this is the vaishya community. And finally, shudra is not allowed to have his own wealth. But at the same time, he is well maintained. He is provided with all the facilities, but he cannot have his own wealth. So he can use the facilities and he can serve the rest of the classes. So this is the typical ideal Varna system. Now, even there is a ratio also in terms of the number of Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras. For one Brahmana, there can be 9 Kshatriyas. And 90 Vaishyas and then 900 Shudras. So this is 1:1,000. So one Brahmana, if there are total 1,000 people in the society, then there will be one Brahmana. So he is the spiritual head of the society. This used to be the ratio. So this is how the Varna system was maintained. And it used to work pretty well. However, things are quite different at this point. Right, so this is a relationship. There is a number. Everything is ordained. Think about it. This is the glory when if one is predominantly in one guna and if the same principle is applicable to the entire society, right? A Brahmana is predominantly in goodness, Kshatriya, a mixture of goodness and passion, Vaishya, mostly in passion, and Shudra, ignorance, you know, passion and ignorance for Vaishya. So there is a predominant nature. So when those natures were strong, then there was a possibility of such strict regimented classification of the society. And it used to work just like a machine. It used to work very well. When these modes are much more mixed in us, then this kind of a classification becomes very difficult. We try to classify exactly according to this principle, it may not work to its strictest sense. Then there is no unemployment. One more benefit is no unemployment. The unemployment rate is always fluctuating. Sometimes it goes up, down. So there is no unemployment. And because of all this stability, people are happy. Materially, people are a bit peaceful and happy. And why all this Varna system is given? Since one doesn't have to worry too much about the occupation, as it is mentioned here, it is fair and uncomplicated. Since it is fair and uncomplicated, one can spend one's energy solely in spiritual life. This is the whole purpose. The whole purpose of Varna is that then we are not too much bothered about our work. We do work because for a grihastha has to earn, has to support one's family and practically the society. And in that situation, how they could do it without much compromising the spiritual life. And actually without compromising spiritual life at all. So this is a classic Vedic system in which one doesn't have to compromise at all. So then when it comes to ashram, a Brahmana can go through all the ashram from Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprasanyas. For a Kshatriya can go up till Vanapras. For a Vaishya can go up till Grihastha. And for a Shudra, only Grihastha. So this is the progression in terms of ashram also, according to Varna. Now, when it comes to this Varnashram, when we try to apply to the modern society, it gets complicated. And especially as devotees, it is even more complicated. Because we are meant to be above Varnashram, as such. Now, Bhagavad Gita, at the same time, very much emphasizes acting according to one's own nature. It's very important, right? We need to act according to one's nature. Yes, we are ready to do in service of Krishna. That mentality has to be there. But at the same time, we tend to act according to the natures we have acquired through modes of material nature. It's applicable to everyone. So we may be good at a particular service, a particular thing. It's fine, we can focus on that thing. At the same time, we are not averse to other services. So if something is needed, then we do anything. We cannot say, I am a Brahmana, so I will not do such and such things. As someone said, I am a Brahmana, I will not clean the toilet. It means he's not a Brahmana. Brahmana can't clean the toilet. Cleanliness is a Brahmanical quality, so he can clean anything. It is part of Brahmanical occupation. There is nothing wrong. So one has to be careful that one may have a nature and one may tend to act according to one's nature and one may utilize that in Krishna's service. But at the same time, one is ready to do any service because it is for Krishna. So this is the kind of a balance between having one's own nature at the same time open to do anything for Krishna's pleasure. Because according to in the spiritual realm, there is no Varnashram as such. There is no Varnashram. Everyone is ready to do anything practically. And all intimate associates of Krishna, they are doing, maybe Vaishya activities or Shudra activities. Or, many of them, they're ready to clean. They're ready to do anything for Krishna's pleasure. So the pleasure of Krishna take the forefront, not the activity in itself. Right? So this is spiritual consciousness. And now if you see occupation, currently in Kali Yuga, all occupations are connected to sinful activities. One may be working in a bank. One may think, I'm working in a bank. How is it connected to sinful activity? But see, the same bank will be supporting so many slaughterhouses, meat industry. One devotee who was still working in a bank told me, I am providing launched for big slaughter industry, big meat industry. So, you know, it is working in a bank, but at the same time supporting meat industry. And one could say, no, I have nothing to do with any of the sinful activities. I am so clear. Then, who we are paying tax to? We are paying tax to the government. What are they supporting? Supporting all sinful activities, right? They are supporting slaughterhouses, brothels, you know, casinos, and intoxicants in all different forms. It's all being supported. So, in Kaliga, if we think that our occupation will never be connected to our life, will never be connected to sinful activity, you know, it is, we are an illusion. It will be connected to sinful activity. It has to be connected to sinful activity. Say, for example, here, the casino is big, you know, as a few days before, you know, Keshava Prabhu was mentioning about the casino and the aftermath. In fact, it is mentioned that before opening the Crown Casino, government, to generate income, they opened the casino. They appointed some professors from Melbourne Uni to study what is going to be the effect in the social fabric because of opening this casino. So there is a few professors, they actually studied sociological studies about the aftermath of opening a casino. This is well before opened the Crown Casino. And they had a report. And their proposal was, it is very much advised not to open the Crown Casino. And they gave the whole, whatever is going through, pretty much, whatever is going through in the current society because of the gambling house here, in terms of suicide, in terms of depression, anxiety, all other mental issues, family issues, everything was practically given, reported very nicely in the report given by this professor. So, however, it went under the carpet and it was opened. And then it is being manifested. This is how it is. This is the government. They may know something which shouldn't be done, but they don't. Because that cannot generate income, because they do support the sinful activities. And that's going on. So Kali Yuga, we cannot completely refrain from sinful activities. We can avoid doing it. At the same time, there will be some connection. I remember as Manmohan Prabhu and myself, we went to a book distribution. So we went to one country town. We went to a camping site. So we told, we are monk and everything, we asked some discount, stuff like that. He gave some discount, but he took the money. After taking the money, he told me, it is very interesting, he told, I am going to use this money for all bad things, all sinful things, because we were monks. He was letting us know that he is going to use this money for all sinful activities. So that's how it is. If we give money, it is going to be used in sinful activities. That's why devotees are careful where we put money. We want to make sure that it is not used for a sinful way. When giving charity, we use the principles of Bhagavad Gita. We don't want to give charity to anyone and everyone. We need to give it to qualified people who can utilize in the most appropriate way. So we are devotees are careful. And in this age, what is the only hope? Only hope is chant Hare Krishna. It's simple. We cannot avoid completely sinful activities, the connection to sinful activities. It's not possible. We had to live out, and there is nothing pure in the Kali Yuga. Anything is pure? Air is not pure. Water is not pure. Food is not pure. Medicine is not pure. Our consciousness is not at all pure. So nothing is pure. Now, in this time, the only hope is chant Hare Krishna. And how can we become chant Hare Krishna? Because of the association of the devotees. How it is very important that we may have very, very little faith. Our faith is enhanced through association of the devotees. When we come to Krishna consciousness, we may have a little bit of faith. And when we associate with the devotees, what happens is we get a little bit more faith in Krishna. And that is the beginning of Krishna consciousness. So it is said, okay, everything is quite inauspicious in the age of Kali, but just by association of the devotees, we can have a bit of faith, and that can be the beginning of Krishna consciousness. So we embark on our Krishna consciousness through association of the devotees. Then we maintain our Krishna consciousness and we make progress in Krishna consciousness through association of the devotees. And finally, we leave this world in Krishna consciousness by the association of the devotees. So association of the devotees is the most important aspect in Krishna consciousness, even to maintain our chanting. That's why it is one of the items of Panjanga Bhakti, the five most important items of devotional service, association of the devotees. We know ourselves, right? We may be chanting, we may be very strict, getting up for Mangalarati, chanting all the rounds. You go out, go away from the association of the devotees for a week, a month, enough. A month is more than enough to know how much of a qualified, advanced devotees we are. Just a month. It is more than enough. 1 week you start shaking. 2 weeks you will maybe tremble. And third and fourth week will be just you know, struggling like anything. I have seen devotees. One boy who used to come for program, he used to chant 16 rounds. He was fired up. Thinking, you know, hearing Vrindavan, I want to go to Vrindavan. He was very fired up. Then he went and stayed with family for a month or two. Then he came back. He didn't want to see devotees. He didn't want to see devotees. If we call him, he will not turn, he will not answer the phone call. And even if accidentally see, he tries to run away. So this is the power of association. See, this is positive association, that is negative association. Maybe family, but it is association. They are not devotees. One can be, you know, just in India, okay? In India, okay, this is what happened. So many cases like this. Go with 16 rounds and then gradually drops the number of rounds. So this is association. It doesn't matter whether we are in Melbourne or India, wherever. Association is so important. And we need to understand what is not association also. Association of devotees is not just a prajalpa club. We talk all nonsense, socialization. That is not really part of association. That may not really award faith. It can shake one's faith, but it may not award further faith. So it is not just socialization. One need to be very mindful when we are with the devotees. Because we become very casual. Especially if we work and come. We had one kind of dealing at work. When you come and stay with the devotees, one can have that tendencies coming forth. So one need to be careful. Devotees are special. And when we don't have the association of the devotees, then we understand the value of association of the devotees. The Bhagavatam says, what is the real purpose and meaning of association of the devotees in the same canto, the third canto, 25th chapter, 25th verse. Satam prasangan mama virya samvito bhavandi hrit karna rasayana katha tajoshanada shvabhavargavatvani shradharatir bhaktiranu kramishyati. So everything is based on association. That is the crux of this verse. So the word used is prasanga. The Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains that there can be two kinds of sanghas, even among devotees. One is sangha, one is association of the devotees who are not so advanced, and one is prasanga. Prasanga means complete association or excellent association. That is with devotees who are really advanced in their bhakti. So we need association of both. We need association of everyone. So when we come in touch with the devotees, someone, one of the devotees, may be merciful unto us. He may show us the path of devotional service. He or she may encourage us to chant Hare Krishna. He may ask us to, okay, are you coming for the morning program? He may inquire in this way. So slowly, we get in touch with the devotees. We take up the process of Krishna consciousness. Then it is the duty of the devotees to give higher association. Give association of devotees who are really advanced in bhakti. Because since we have to go through the anarthas, we need such higher association. It is mentioned, with the association of a devotee who is not so advanced, one can come to the stage of bhajana kriya. Bhajana kriya means engaging in devotional service. One can chant, one can follow regulative principles, etc. So it is possible by the association of a devotee who is not so advanced. However, if one has to clear the unwanted things in the heart, if one has to go through the anartha nirvritti stage and come to nishta, then definitely one needs the association of a devotee who is really advanced and who has actually gone through the stages of bhakti progressively, who has gone beyond the stages. That is necessary for us to make further progress. So we need both. To stay even in bhajana kriya, we need association of the devotees, but to go through the anartha nirvritti, one need advanced association. So that's what he says. Okay, one has to hear Krishna Katha from such advanced devotees when we have to go through the anartha nirvritti. So that is the meaning of prasanga. That's the meaning of excellent association. So in Krishna consciousness, both associations are very important because we need to stay as devotees and we need some immediate examples. Right? We need some immediate examples which we can follow immediately. If somebody is sitting at one place and chanting, and if we see somebody sitting at one place and chanting, at least we can follow that. We can see people who are making advancement ahead of us. They may not be super advanced, but we can see, okay, he or she is more advanced than me. We can see that. That is the stage of Madhyama. An intermediate devotee can see that. Okay, he or she, his chanting is better, his understanding is better, his attitude is better. So we need to see that examples in bhakti, in our association. So it is mentioned that such association is not necessarily verbal. It can be just by observing. If we see the attitude, the service of a devotee, or if we observe the mentality of a devotee, and that in itself is sufficient for us to develop faith, for us to make the next step. So that is the vapu aspect, just being in the presence. We can see in the devotees in our association, in the congregation, in the ashram, etc., and also the advanced devotees. And second is the vani, what they speak. So both are important. It's applicable not just the spiritual master, but it's applicable for all devotees who we associate with. And this such association, such hearing from devotees can make lasting impressions in our heart. That can help us to go through different anarthas in our life, to go through that and go beyond that. So certain points I will mention which are very important in making advancement in our devotion life. One is, as we make progress in our devotional life, we tend to realize, slowly but steadily one realizes, that advancement is not just based on seniority. It's not just based on number of years that I have spent in Krishna consciousness. So as actually when I actually makes advancement in Krishna consciousness, one tend to see that it is not just the years in Krishna consciousness is translated as advancement. It's not necessary. It's not just the quantity. It is the quality. So, second, it is not just the years and it's not just the position. Because if you spend few years in Krishna consciousness, maybe devotees who are coming as a neophyte, coming through, they may see us as seniors. In position also, we may be in a higher position. Maybe in congregation, maybe in ashram, maybe in the temple, one may be in a higher position. But as one makes progress in Krishna consciousness, one has to get detached from this aspect, from number of years as a devotee, in terms of the position, etc., in terms of seniority. One has to consciously pull oneself down from such kind of attachments. One has to see that is not the qualification. And one tries to see what is in one's own heart. That becomes the prime criteria. One sees, where am I at? What is my consciousness when I pick the bead and try to chant Hare Krishna? Right? So it is said, before coming to real humility, one has to go through humiliation. Before humility, there has to be humiliation. If we think we are advanced, we pick chant beads and start chanting, or we tend to be fixed on any aspect of devotional service, then we can see we are being humiliated to ourselves. It's not to show off to anyone. It's not being humiliated in front of everyone. But we can see ourselves. I am trying to do something, but I have no qualification. I am not qualified. So if we see that, so that's the first step. So that humiliation is very good. If we accept that we have problem, that is the first step towards the solution. So this is very important. Then when we have that, then we tend to chant attentively with connection to Krishna, with feeling. So this is the next. One has to be detached from all this position, seniority, etc. And then one need to develop attentive chanting with feeling for Krishna, with connection to Krishna. So this is the next step. If we have to go through the anarthas, how we have to go through the anartha nirvritti. Then when we hear from devotees or when we read Srila Prabhupada's books, the process doesn't become just a process of information gathering. This is a sign of a devotee who is coming to Krishna consciousness and first reading Srila Prabhupada's books. First we tend to hear all the lectures. Our attempt is to gather information. Everything is new. Everything is informative. It's interesting. So let's gather information as much as possible, which is good, which is important. But if one has to go further, one has to go away from this approach. One has to see how this is going to make me a better devotee. Or how can I use this knowledge to help others to bring to Krishna consciousness. So one has to move from just information gathering to personal application. So one try to see that. How is it going to make me a better devotee? How is it relevant in my life? So it's not just, it's nothing wrong with more bhakti knowledge. It is well and good. But at the same time, he can see how it is going to help me or someone else. Next is very important, which can cover the whatever I spoke so far regarding advancement in devotional service, that is purposeful practice of bhakti. Purposeful practice of bhakti. What is purposeful practice of bhakti? When we do devotional service, let it be chanting, let it be seva, let it be anything, we always forget the purpose. We do the activity, but we forget to connect what is the actual purpose. So when we have that real purpose, that I want to develop that loving attraction to Krishna, I want to serve with the Krishna with that affection. When we have that in our mind, then the whole activities in Krishna consciousness take a different dimension. So purposeful practice is the key to success. If you want to succeed in Krishna consciousness, then our practice has to be purposeful. Otherwise, if we are doing mechanical, then still we have the tendency of Niyamagraha. So Niyamagraha, it is not a very restricted, small thing, but Niyamagraha can apply to all aspects of our devotional service. So when we are performing devotional service just for the sake of doing it, let it be anything. When we are not purposeful, then it is the element of Niyamagraha is there in our practice. So when we are conscious of our practice, and when we are doing it really to make advancement, to develop that connection to Krishna, to develop that attraction to Krishna and serving in that way, then we can actually go through the stages of anartha for the unwanted things. And in that way, one can become more steadier and then can become steady in bhakti. So this is the first stage of, if you see, the entire Krishna consciousness, the first stage is to come to the touch, the stage of steadiness, nishtha. And for that, one need purposeful practice. And one just last point. Association with the advanced devotees. Spoke about Vani and Vapu. In these three important aspects are there in association of very advanced devotees. One is three powerful things one can get from advanced devotees. One is remnants of prasadam, mahaprasadam. It is considered very powerful. So that's why if an advanced devotee is honoring prasadam, everyone goes for some maha, because that has spiritual potency, because we get influenced by such an advanced consciousness. Second important thing is the water which is washed the remnants of the war, the charanamrita of an advanced devotee. And what is the third? Dust from the lotus feet. So it said these three are considered very important. So when we get an opportunity, we take this. It's not just externally, it is not neglecting the instructions. It's not something to make up for the instructions, but it has to go along with the instructions. So one shouldn't think, you know, I'm not anyway following, so at least I'll take the maha. It's better than nothing, but that is insufficient. So this is the association with advanced devotees. So I stop here and see if there are any questions or comments. Yes, Prabhu.
Association
is very important, yes. Yes, Prabhu.
Sometimes in the preaching, like you mentioned before, that devotees are very careful when they're keeping their mind.
Yeah.
Because they get the reaction. Sometimes in the preaching, I get challenged because people like say, like Hare Krishna is there supporting the milk industry so much, and they're actually so cruel. So, how would you approach your safety? Because it can sound a little contradictory.
Yeah. We can say we are working towards it. Our aim is to produce our own milk and to get out completely from the slaughterhouse milk industry. That is the aim. That is one of the objectives of our movement. We are not well developed, of course, in that. We are still in its infancy. But there are some attempts. For example, we have farms. So we can say we agree, we are working towards it. That is one aspect one can say in that direction. And also you can say, if you are preaching point, one can say it is your choice. There is no institutional rule that one has to support or one has to consume milk from the market. There is no institutional rule. ISKCON is not telling every devotee in ISKCON must go and get milk and drink. It's your choice. Some people do, some people don't. So one has the freedom. So you have a good cause you don't want, you can do without. It's your choice. So this is from a preaching perspective. If you say, we are offering milk to Krishna, they'll become prasadam. Cow anyway going to get slaughtered, is going to get benefit. That will not impress people anyway. That's not going to help really. That kind of preaching is very difficult to get through. If you tell, so there's not much point telling these kind of things. At least you can say, you know, it's your choice. There are devotees who are not supporting the industry. They only consume milk, which is ahimsa, which is non-violence, so one can make the point, a neutral point, where it's your choice. Yeah. There are some attempts to produce our own milks, but it is not sufficient, but there are some attempts. Yeah. Yeah. There were rulers in Satyayuga also. At the same time, general class of people were Hamsa in Satyayuga. Everyone were Paramahamsas, very advanced devotees. At the same time, it doesn't mean that there were no rulers to the society. The Bhagavatam gives rulers in Satyayuga also. So, yeah. But not delineated as now, because or now, not now, or other ages, because there is a distinct qualification because of predominance of different modes. But in Satyayuga that is very, very limited. So generally it's said one varna is Hamsa. Generally everyone is very advanced devotees, but at the same time there is some social structure, but it is not a proper social structure. So that social structure was started at the time of Prithu Maharaj. So actual Varnashram really manifested at the time of Prithu Maharaj. So that is the time actually the Varnashram system was fully established. So it doesn't mean that there are people who can manage stuff like that, but the proper Varnashram didn't exist that time, yeah. Yes, okay. Hare Krishna. Mm. The question is, initial rounds may be focused, but then it gets mechanical. What to do? One has to try. One has to try. Keep trying. One has to keep trying. One has to be reminded oneself. Chanting time, one has to be reminded. Say, you must have already figured out after how many rounds mind starts wandering, right? Some people is 4, some people is 8. Some people is after 1, some people is after a few mantras. Some people is always. So one can figure out, according to one's level, after how many rounds the mind starts wandering. Then, so you know, then at that point you can remind yourself, it can be a new beginning at that point. Right? You can figure out, right? After how many rounds the mind can focus. Right? So that there can be a reminder for yourself at that point. Now, mind is going to act in this way. And I have seen that many, many times. Every day I'm seeing that. So today I'm going to make a difference. Let me try this round. If it's happening at the number 7, okay, let me try 8. Let me try to attentively chant 8. Let me give it a go at 8. One can make progressive steps and remind oneself. Yeah. But it's good. It's a good observation. Yeah. Yes.
Endeavor and then patience and determination. These three factors are very important.
Yes.
And what Anmol is asking is waxing and waning is because of the anartha. Because sometimes we are very enthusiastic, sometimes we are not. So because the anarthas are coming in our heart and they are trying to subside.
Yes.
Prabhupada.
So anyway, the question is, you mean the Kshatriya system of governing, is it nepotism? The answer is, to be a Kshatriya, one has to be qualified. You want to be born in a Kshatriya family, at that age one has to be qualified. And to maintain a life of a Kshatriya is not easy. It means truthful always. One is ready to do anything to protect the citizens, the cows, the brahmanas, the women, the children, to do anything at the stake of one's own life. How many people can do that? So when we see facilities, we also have to see responsibilities. So one can get envious. Generally, people become envious seeing the facilities. Then one has to see how much responsible he or she is. So when we talk about a Kshatriya king, there are facilities and there are responsibilities. So when next hire is the son, he is trained and he need to have qualities. And if he is a rogue, then it becomes the case of Vena. Right? Anga had the son Vena and the brahmanas, they had to kill him because he was a rogue. He was a king, but he was a rogue. He was misbehaving. Like he was killing. He was killing even his playmates. He'll go with his playmates to the river for water sport and he will drown few of them in between. That was his sporting. Then he understood. The brahmanas understood. The priestly class understood. This guy is a rogue. He's going to create trouble. Then they killed him. Right? So there has to be qualification. Make sense? Question?
Mm.
Yeah. The question is, if we don't do our work and do some bad things, do we get any reaction? Then?
If you just think of
doing. Oh, if you think of doing. Okay. So if you think of doing bad things, then do we get a reaction? So we are in a very good age. It's called Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, we are saved that if we think of any bad things, we don't get any bad reaction. But if you think of doing some good things, then we get a good reaction too. So we are saved in the age of Kali. So we don't want to think any bad things. But unfortunately, if you do think about anything bad, we don't get any bad reaction. Because otherwise, in Kali Yuga, we will be in super trouble. In previous ages, people used to get reaction just by thinking. So people were so pure that if a bad thought had a bad reaction, and the word was also so powerful, the thought and the word were so powerful. So if someone says something, they could keep up that word all the time, no matter what happens. So when they give a blessings, tathastu, it used to happen. Because the word was so pure, so powerful, no lies at all. And whatever they have said, it has done. So they were powerful in the word and they were powerful in the mind. Mind means no bad thoughts. If bad thoughts is there, then there's a reaction. So they were able to control mind so much so that such a severe punishment was present. But currently it's not possible. So our mind, you know, anytime bad thoughts can come, anytime. So there is no reaction because of that. Okay. It depends on how intensely we are thinking. If you are really desiring while chanting, it can there is a chance of fulfillment. And if it's a bad thing, it can be very bad for us. So if bad things are coming to, or even bad or good things, it doesn't matter. If it is coming, non-devotional ambitions, whether good or bad, if it's coming to our mind while chanting, better to understand it's not good. I don't want to get into thought. Better to go back and listen to the holy name. With the mood that, you know, it's an unwanted thing. This is not what I really want. I want to hear the holy name. But if one actually continues to think, and if one makes it a habit, desiring things, material, whether good or bad, doesn't matter. If you chant, chanting will give the result. Nama Chintamani, it's a touchstone. Not even a touchstone, it's a desire-fulfilling stone. So one has to be very careful with the consciousness when we are chanting.
And it actually happened, really happened. I was driving and someone from this lane turned into my lane and hit only that mud guard. And he told me, don't go through the police, I'll pay this because I don't want to spoil, you know, the insurance, then you have to pay more or whatever it was. And I said, okay, he gave me the money.
Hare Krishna. What I told is the general rule. Devotees may be chanting and desiring. Then Hare Krishna. Yes, sir. Okay, we should stop here. Grantharashyamad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai.